Well, the financial press is reporting that the value of the U.S. dollar plummeted to a 14-year low against the British pound. It's weakened against the euro and the yen, and many financial analysts are predicting rough times for the dollar in 2007. This decline in the value is quite simple. The dollar loses value as a direct result of the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury increasing the money supply. Inflation, basically continues to go up and up and up. The federal government consistently wants to spend more than it can tax and borrow, so Congress runs to the Fed for help in covering the difference. And the result is more dollars, both real and electronic, which simply means the value of every existing dollar goes down, and that could be a big problem. Alex Jones will tell you that it is man-made. We'll find out why and take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're going to take your calls. Alex, though, the dollar is plummeting. It's created. They're trying to push it to nothing. Why?
Well, they spin this by it goes to a low of 134 to the euro. That is, a euro is worth $1.34 to the dollar. The euro opened in 2000, European Union currency, at 82 cents to the dollar. So that's just a massive increase in its value and a decrease in the dollar. The pound is absolutely destroying it, the British sterling. And obviously, most your listeners understand the Federal Reserve is private. It's owned by foreign private shareholders. It's private stock. And most Americans didn't care if we had a fiat currency. I mean, what is it? It's just stuff the Treasury prints up. The problem is Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan,
former,
doubled the money supply in the last 6 years. Then Edward Bernanke, the new Fed chair, came in this year, and he announced in January that he was going to double it in the next 2 years. Then he made the M3 money supply secret. 6 years ago, there was 3% paper currency, or Federal Reserve notes, money, greenbacks, versus the zeros and ones, the amounts of money, quote, in banks, just on computers. So it's completely fiat. Now that is less than 1.5% actual paper currency. So the point is that if just a few percentage points of the people went and tried to get their money as cash out of the banks would close within hours of anyone attempting that. We are much more leveraged to a greater extent than we were in 1929 with the Great Depression, which was also orchestrated. Now, we have a higher private debt, and corporate and federal, but higher private debt for the average American than we had at the depth of the Depression in late 1933. We passed that mark about 4 months ago. These private central banks announced, I was in Kansas City at an event 4 years ago, almost fell out of my chair when Treasury Secretary Snow said that they didn't want a strong dollar and they thought that it would be, quote, good for manufacturing. Well, manufacturing is at an all-time low. Our trade deficit is bigger than ever. Over $10 trillion is held by foreign countries in U.S. debt. And starting a year ago, China, the EU, the Arab countries started moving away from the dollar and making larger and larger purchases each day, not in U.S. debt, but in other currencies, hedging their bet. Meanwhile, CBS News reported top members of Congress, Dick Cheney, others, moved their investments out of the dollar. And so basically what's happened is we hear the dollar's been devalued by 45%. It's more like 98.5%. This has been going on since 1913, and the central bankers, they print up the fiat money. They order the Treasury to issue it. What are banks really after? They're after real, tangible assets. They want to have controlled booms and bust to, in a centrifugal way, consolidate wealth. So they want to pull the rug out from under us at the time of their choosing to then get property, to then get companies, to get homes. That's why when you're not making any money and you're in college, they send you credit cards every week. Once you're not in debt,
you never get them.
You don't. I mean, Exactly. I might get four or five credit card offers a year. When I was in college, literally working two jobs, eating ramen noodle every night, I got four or five a week. And they admit that's who they're targeting. In fact, a few years ago, I had a credit card they canceled on me because they said, well, you never use it except when you rent a car. They said, we don't show any activity. You're not the type of customer we want. And I saw a story on AOL News 2 days ago saying, oh, look out, paying your card completely off or never using it gives you bad credit. And then I was buying a car a few years ago, and they said, well, we don't see any credit card activity here, and we see one was canceled. So I have bad marks on my credit for not being in debt. So basically, folks, and they've said this, when I interviewed Joseph Stiglitz, again, former chief economist, World Bank Nobel Prize winner, he said, he calls it the IMF riot. And when he quit in 2002, mysteriously, I'm not saying he did it, 1,000 pages plus of documents came out, and they call it the IMF riot because the IMF, which is the global front of these private banking families, goes into Argentina, goes into other countries, and over again, they want to have a bust that they control, but they want to do it when they've got a president or prime minister or premier in power who will then crack down. Then the people riot. Then the economy goes down even further, and the private banks who've quietly positioned all their assets into safe havens, raw materials, gold, things like that, they come in and buy up the whole country for pennies on the dollar, and the state itself is bankrupt and has already signed this 101-point plan to then sign over the roads, the water, the infrastructure to them. And now the globalists have destroyed all these third world countries. They're now doing it to the United States. That's why the roads are being given to foreign countries and companies. That's why the ports are being given over. And by devaluing the dollar, just while it's devalued before the crash, if their currency's worth 45% more, they can come in and buy up U.S. assets even cheaper. And it also robs Americans. You know, they give us some 10% tax cut, but then devalue our money by 45%. Everybody should be mad to know that savings you put away for college fund for your children or for retirement, that's been devalued by 45% conservatively, but it gets worse. It gets worse. The Dow Jones Industrial 30 is only winners. They only put winning top 30 industrial stocks in there. They keep the losers out of Standard & Poor's, the S&P, NASDAQ. And so even with a hedge stage stock market index indices, on top of that, get ready for this, folks, your stock market is really at about 6,500, not 12,000, because the dollar's been devalued. So inflationary trends show it takes more of those dollars to buy that. So that Google stock in 2000 numbers isn't worth $500. It's worth $250 in real money value.
To those phones we go, Alex. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Rick.
Hi, Rick. Go ahead.
Oklahoma. And my question is, Alex, in the Bible, God placed a mark upon Cain to protect him from being killed. And my question is, why do you believe that the mark of the beast will be a computer chip?
Well, I didn't say that I believe the mark of the beast will be a computer chip. I believe that
I did.
well, let me just qualify that. I believe the mark of the beast is the main course at this bloody banquet. Okay, I believe in the beast system. The Bible says the beast system, and then the mark of the beast. So clearly, whether you believe in God or not, which I do, this is a beast-like system. You cannot buy or sell, great or small, rich or poor, bond or slave or free, without this. This is a total control grid to track everything we do, just like they track everything on the internet. This makes reality, the real three-dimensional world now, an overlay that they can track in real time with the RFID chips. And so they don't even need to chip you. With the face scan they take when you get a driver's license under federal standards, Real ID Act, now law, now being standardized in all 50 states. Texas already had it in 93. They can scan your face as you walk down the street. They can scan your license plate. They can thumbprint you, and they create a digital number off of 16 points on your thumb or your face that is your unique identifier. So All a chip is a serial number that's attached to a database. Well, your face is the equivalent of a chip because they can scan that and have a number attached to it that then ties into a database. So I think the chip, I think the thumb scan, I think the face scan, the biometrics, the voice print, all of that, and they're saying, is going to be integrated onto this new national ID card, and that itself, all of that contributes and together makes the beast system.
Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. You're on with Alex Jones on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Alex, George, what a great program. Alex, you're a breath of fresh air. I want to thank you for coming to my part of the woods. I hope next time I can meet you, but my friend just spoke so highly of you in terms of coming to New York, at the last anniversary.
Yes.
Your work is greatly appreciated. Now, Alex, first of all, I want to hear more about, let me ask my question and I'll listen to you over the air. But I want to hear more about the highway. I get Pacifica WBAI here, and I heard a caller from British Columbia, Canada, and she knew, and I read pretty extensively, but she seemed to know. So my question is, how did they get it through, without Congress, without the Canadian Parliament, et cetera? And what about the media? In other words, talk about what's out there, because this lady from British Columbia, she seemed to know more. I want to hear about the Diana situation where the U.S. Secret Service, the recent reports listening. And lastly, I just love your work so much. And recently I had a chance to try to track down some of Sherman Skolnick's work because he was writing on scalar technology.
Right. And he's passed away now, right?
George, I'm glad you know him.
Yeah.
He's done some wonderful work, but I didn't get to his work directly, but I pulled up an article called Hurricane Katrina, Weather Warfare Conspiracy by Stefan Grossman off of Conspiracy Planet, linked to the cloakanddagger.de, Lenny Bloom, who's wonderful, and he worked very closely with Sherman. He's greatly missed, but brother, I love you. I want to be in touch with you to help. When you come to New York City next time,
take on
the cameras that we have all over the city. In other words, they want to put it on the buses and the public transit, so we want you to confront that. I hope it will be soon, and I'll listen, and I love you, and I love you too.
All right, thanks, Anita. Why would the Secret Service, the CIA, want to tap Princess Diana? I mean, what was so valuable about monitoring her? Now, they deny it, but I think it's going to be released eventually in a British report on her death.
Well, I mean, they tap anybody of any significance. Most of what NSA and Echelon does is economic warfare data that's then given to select global corporations to then cheat the free market and go after their competition. But clearly they were spying on Princess Diana.
Maybe for Prince Charles?
Yes. She told British papers, and she told... She told members of the press before she died, she made a videotape, which the Secret Service captured, that Prince Charles told her, I'm going to kill you in the next few months, and it's going to look like an auto accident. And 80%+ of Brits believe they killed her, and all the evidence points towards that. So the question is, why did this story about government spying, U.S. government spying on her, come out now? I think it came out because then they buried in there these honeypot lies, kind of supporting the official story. Then it turned out that her driver was on British intelligence payroll. But going back to her first question about the highways, how do they merge the U.S., Canada, and Mexico without the Congress, the Parliament, or the Mexican Congress getting together and passing that? That's why the New World Order, for the last 100 years, in every major country, has tried to push federalism, centralized big federal governments, because then they don't have to go pay off all the states. They don't have to go pay off even all the legislative arms. They've just got to have the executive. So once you've made the executive preeminent, the presidency or the prime ministership preeminent in any government, then you've just got to control who the president is. And all they've done is the president, under Homeland Security, now controls all the federal agencies and has just ordered them to start merging the governments. And the same thing happened in Mexico. The same thing's happened in Canada. Just like the European Union has now removed the power of the people almost completely away to the central government in Brussels. And so that's how they've been able to do this. And, yes, the Canadian press, all their big papers, headlines like the end of Canada, we've been merged, it's happened, secret meetings. There has been more coverage in Canada with only 32 million people than there has been in the United States. And I think that's a shame. That's why Coast to Coast AM, which is also on in Canada, is such a jewel and so important.
All right, let's go to West of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good.
Thank you. This is Mario from Hacienda Heights, California.
Sure. Go ahead.
Love your show, Alex. I love what you've been doing as far as getting the truth out. You know, may both of you guys be blessed by God to keep doing what you're doing.
You too, my friend.
I've actually got a question for you. I think it was you just may have answered it, but as far as the North American Union, I have read reports also from one of your websites that that the Amero, because of the falling value of the dollar, investors will have been actually been suggesting that the emergence of this new currency would be the best thing for not only the United States, but also in convergence with Mexico and Canada.
Well, I'm glad you raised that, because that was my next point in the list of things I want to discuss concerning that. And this isn't my opinion. The Trilateral Commission in the 70s said this was the plan. So for the 12 years I've been public, that's what I've been saying was going to happen. We go to the European Union model first. They set it up as a, quote, European economic community, a trade deal. Then they said, oh, we're having currency spikes. We can't deal with the dollar because we're not together and merged. And the Trilateral Commission that manages the world's economic system, it's like the management think tank for the big banks, headed up by David Rockefeller and Brzezinski, said, we'll launch the euro. It will cause the dollar to go down because it'll be a newer currency that hasn't been devalued yet. It'll be 30% gold backed. Then as the dollar plunges, we'll sell Americans on it. This was written in the 70s, in 78, this particular document. We will tell the Americans that there'll be a new thing called the Phoenix or the Amero. They debated the names. About 5 years ago, they then, in some of these Free Trade Area of the Americas preliminary meetings, they had them in Miami, other areas. I have this from C-SPAN. I have the video of it. They said, we're then going to sell the public in the name of stability on merging the currencies of the Americas. Now they're doing a piecemeal with the North American Union. And then last week, MSNBC reported that the answer is the Amero. Merging our currencies will beef us up and allow the dollar to be strong again. You see, in a Ponzi scheme, first they want to bust the dollar, then consolidate, then start the Ponzi scheme over again, and you can't do that with an already discredited currency. It also allows them to gather up all the currency, you know, buried in coffee cans in the backyard or in your mattress. So yes, the Amero, when we get back, I can tell you folks, they've already picked the capital of North America.
Well, let's find out where that is when we come back, and then we'll take final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, Alex, before we go back to final calls, what's the new capital of North America going to be?
Well, let me just first say before we run out of time, George, I want to congratulate you, because I've been reading the press reports, on making Coast to Coast AM bigger than it's ever been in its many-year history, and just your success with the record ratings that no one in talk radio has ever seen. You know, in some areas, having 30, 40% of total radio listeners, not just talk radio. And I want to thank you for having me on, and again, congratulations for all the success on your new book as well. Yeah. These different global bodies that write the policy reports and chair, you know, the Summit of Americas and the other meetings they have, they'll always write the policies. And then when people call them on it, they go, oh, no, we don't have any power. It's a recommendation. And then exactly what they call for word, is implemented. In early 2005, the Council on Foreign Relations that really runs this country, it hooks into the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberg Group, but it's kind of like the House or the Commons of this pyramidal power structure. They wrote up a plan towards a North American Union, And word for word, it was adopted in the agreement that Bush signed with Vicente Fox and then Prime Minister Paul Martin last year, just a few months later. So these guys are writing our law, and these different bodies have gotten together, and they debated Miami or Atlanta for the new headquarters of the North American Union government. And as of now, it could change. Atlanta, Georgia will be the capital of the North American Union.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it's not a bad city.
Yeah.
Not a bad city at all.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones we go. International Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from?
Guadalajara, Mexico.
Well, welcome, sir.
This is Leonardo. And, Alex, I just think what you do is excellent to take the wool off of people's eyes.
Thank you.
I read a book a number of years ago called En Route to Global Occupation.
Yes.
I can't remember who wrote the book, but in the book, he even had photos of the new dollars that are being printed. And on the dollars are a blank space or area that is supposedly there so that they can place the one world currency stamp on it to validate it.
Well, see, that's going to be and this is all official. After they have the American Union, the European Union, the Asian Union, with subdirectorates of the African Union, they're then going to merge the currencies, but you're still going to have your, and even in the Amero, there's going to be Mexican, American, and Canadian. It's just the numbers and the stamps and the RFID, which just last week the Treasury said, we're going to put RFID in all the money, like we said years ago. And people said, well, wait, security, folks can read through your wallet what you have. They said, we don't care. So even when we have the world currency, you're still going to have your local regional brands. Here's an example. They passed a law last year for the Real ID Act, National ID Card. Well, it's still going to have the state of Texas, state of California on it. It's issued by your state, but it's federally standardized and federally funded and issued. It just, you know, it's kind of like Sports Illustrated, you know, has their regional brands of the magazine. It's still the same magazine.
Right. Is that book En Route to Global Occupation, do you know, recall who wrote that?
Well, I got up at 7 a.m. yesterday, and I interviewed I think it's a doctor, and the book's very accurate. I'm not placing who wrote it, but I did read the book. That was about 10 years ago.
Right, right. And it is an excellent book for people to read to kind of get a grip, because it was written 10 years ago. Now, most of what he said is already in place.
Yeah, I've interviewed him, and I just, as soon as the show ends, I'll remember.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for all you do. George, God bless you.
Okay, Leonardo, appreciate you being part of the program. East of the Rockies, your turn. Hi there.
Good morning, gentlemen. This
yes.
is Frank calling from New York City.
Sure, Frank.
And I wanted to commend you, George, on your new book. It's very enlightening and also very entertaining.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
it. Quite a feat
it's
to
nice
accomplish.
To hear. Well,
Alex,
also my...
good talking to you this morning. I have two things. Before I go into the first one, I just wanted to – one of the callers had questioned why Diane's phone might have been tapped. You have to remember, I think, that Adnan Khashoggi was Dodi Fayed's uncle. And, you know, he was the less than notorious or the less than scrupulous arms dealer of the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. And also, Diane was very successful in Europe and Africa with her anti-landmine campaign.
That's right.
She was a direct threat to the military-industrial complexes in North America, Europe, and Asia.
That's right. She was effectively exposing that the landmines are maiming hundreds of thousands a year and killing.
That's correct. And it's interesting that Khashoggi sold many of those landmines illegally without the proper export licenses
Tens of millions of those.
Correct.
Sold, and some of them cost like $5 a piece.
Even less. But the question I wanted to mention, I've been following, as Alex knows, very carefully what's been happening with the Litvinenko case. And I was wondering, Alex and George, what you thought of, in the last 48 hours, the fact that Putin nationalized $20 to $40 billion worth of Royal Dutch Shell's leases.
Yeah, that's right.
In Russia,
Putin announced that he is nationalizing and that he's going to kick out basically all the foreign owners, and that lends credence to the argument you've called into my show.
Yes.
That lends credence to the argument that this was done to in this big spectacle of poisoning Litvinenko and others, to then blame it on Putin, who does have a reason to kill Litvinenko for exposing Russian state-sponsored terror.
Well, I didn't know about that, but I do know this, that it was Boris Yeltsin that, in a sense, gave away the assets of the former Soviet Union to the 40 oligarchs. And it's sort of like the cow has left the barn and Putin is trying to get, you know, to rescue former assets that have been sort of, in a sense, taken from Russia.
All I'm going to say is any defense of Putin, I don't agree with. Putin is oppressing the press, doing horrible things in Chechnya, turning Russia into a police state, putting the hammer and sickle back on their military vehicles. And I'm not going to defend the oligarchs, but at the same time, it's kind of like a choice between Satan and Beelzebub.
Well, what do you think, though, of nationalizing those oil fields? You think we should be doing that? Tossing out all these companies?
No, I think that here in the U.S. you have a lot of private landowners, and so the American people actually get some of the money. But in most of the world, that's not how it works. I don't know what to say. It's just one gangster taking oil fields away from a group of other gangsters.
Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes,
George?
Sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Alex?
Yes.
Oh, thanks, George.
Sure thing.
Alex, I got two questions and I got a crazy scenario. Number one, this Cintra in Spain.
Yes, the foreign-owned company that's taking over roads from Indiana to Texas.
Yeah, do you think that could be a front for the Chinese?
Or a front for anybody, Alex?
Well, the Spanish don't really need a front. I mean, they're an old, very rich country with a very powerful centralized elite with a poor population. Same thing with Portugal. And as far as I can tell, Cintra merged with a British company 2 months ago. But the deal was already done in Texas. They'd already bought off the politicians. And so, again, that's just speculation. And the evidence is, no, it's Spain taking over the roads. Now, the Chinese do have over 6,000 front companies. That's an FBI number in the nation. But they don't need to have front companies. They're openly with the trillion plus, it's about $1 trillion they hold in U.S. debt. They don't need to have front companies. Nobody's stopping them from buying up key infrastructure. You know, a lot of our weapons components are now made in China. I mean, this country has just been sucked dry.
Alex, the reason I thought that is because of the billions and billions of dollars involved on the building of this superhighway that the Chinese would really be involved in it.
Well, I have documents from the Department of Transportation in Minnesota, Department of Transportation in Missouri, Department of Transportation in Texas. It was in the Statesman, the local paper here in Austin, last year. TxDOT employees leaked it. The roads are already paid for with record gas tax receipts. Okay, we're using from 15 million barrels 10 years ago, 22 million barrels a day now. They have record gas receipts. The roads are all paid for, sir. This isn't foreigners coming in and paying to build the roads. They are being given, as part of a globalist deal. Look, it's like the British and eight other European countries carved up China a few hundred years ago. We're just being – it's like Hitler and Stalin slicing up Poland, okay? This isn't they're buying it or they're paying for something or they're financing something. These are deals where they agree to pay a tax to the state, federal, and the North American Union government, and then they keep the lion's share of the profits off roads that we then pay for with taxes. They just manage the roads and then have a corporate agreement to share the spoils with the government.
Okay, next up, let us go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, how you doing?
We're all well, thank you.
Alex, George. Yeah, I was wondering, now, there's a letter sent by Congressman Charles Lindbergh in 2003, and in it where he states how an article written by Alan Greenspan states that debt is an Illuminati tool to make the people dependent upon the government.
Sir, it's more than that.
Yeah.
It's a 1968 book. It's on my bookshelf. I forget the name. It's a compilation. It's upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a compilation of essays compiled by Ayn Rand.
Yeah.
And a huge chapter is written. He ran a big gold brokerage firm in New York. He was fighting them. Like a G. Edward Griffin or an Aaron Russo or an Alex Jones or a George Norrie, and they literally swooped in what, 1982 or 4,
yep,
and hired him to shut him up and made him Fed chief. He wrote a huge chapter in a book. It was like Alex Jones was talking.
Yeah. But, awesome. Now, I was also wondering, have you ever read the Banker's Manifesto of 1892?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so that pretty much leads up to that, too, and also leads up to the perpetrated bankruptcy of America and whatnot and all that. So, yeah, our money is not quite backed by gold anymore, and I wonder what's backing it.
Nothing.
I guess the lands and properties and the peoples of this United States, I suppose.
Or air.
When they say good faith of the United States and the people, they mean us, folks.
We're backing it.
Yes.
International Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from?
Ontario in Canada.
Well, thank you.
Hi, my name is Pamela, and I'm a big fan of both you, George, and Alex.
Well,
I really appreciate
you,
what you're doing for us.
Sure.
But I'm a researcher myself. I've found proof of how the Illuminati plan to control the world in one of the symbols that is a really well-known symbol in the world. But there's a whole lot more to it that I've discovered, and it's too much for, you know, a short little bit on a radio show for me to really explain to people, and I was just wondering how I go about spreading the message, because I'm a person of limited resources, and I could use some help.
I tell you what, why don't you email Alex Jones, go to one of his websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, send him what you've been working on. Maybe he'll interview you for his website. Possible, Alex?
Exactly, ma'am. Here's an example. Go to my MySpace account, or I have a message board on my site. You can post your findings. You can post your ideas. Millions of people, well, let's be conservative, hundreds of thousands will see your post. And then if it's interesting or some like-minded person, then you can work with them. You can, you know, you can talk with them. You can start your own message board, your own website, your own MySpace account. You can, you know, do what you're doing now, calling in to radio talk shows. But the Illuminati loves symbols because it's their own language, how they communicate with each other. And that's why pyramids and sunburst and all these other symbols are all over corporate logos. That's their gang sign. That's their symbol. That's how they communicate with each other. But don't think everybody who uses those symbols is necessarily part of the New World Order. Most corporations and companies are low level. They just see that successful people use those symbols, so they counterfeit and duplicate it, or they mockingbird it.
Okay, time for maybe a couple more, and that is it. Alex, Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George, so good to talk to you. Thank you, Alex, for all your information. First, may I wish you both a very Merry Christmas, and may God bless both of you and all of those you love throughout the coming year.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you. I have two inquiries more than questions. One was something that I think Art Bell brought up on his program, and that is a code that you would, a number you would dial, no matter where you are. If you dial, I'm not sure if it's 211 or 112, and your cell phone, no matter where you are, can reach a transmitter or a satellite link to locate you.
Yeah, let me explain this. Okay, please. Federal law, Telecommunications Act of 96, by October 1st, 2001, the system had to be in. It was launched early. They know down to 15 feet under federal law, real GPS is down to 3 feet. Your phone doesn't have GPS. Most of them don't. Some do now. It triangulates off cell towers that are GPS marker points, and then that gives them the location. And, yes, a lot of phones have an emergency button.
That's what they're trying to use, I guess, to find those hikers then, right?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah.
This is James in Nashville.
Okay, James, go ahead. I've got a couple minutes.
Oh, okay. I really appreciate what you've done as far as taking over the show. And I've been listening for about nine years.
Oh, welcome aboard.
Alex, I've got a couple of your videos, Martial Law 9/11, the Bohemian Grove, Terror Storm.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I've got a couple of questions for you.
We'll get one in, just one. That's all we'll have time for.
Is it possible for someone to manufacture E. coli in labs, or could terrorists?
Oh, absolutely. Sir, you could. I don't want to get gross here, but there's E. coli in your toilet every day. Okay, that's, you know, this is the stuff that grows in our waste. And there has been a lot of unsolved cases that is clear economic sabotage going on. And I find all of this suspicious. The feds are trying to push through animal ID and produce IDs, which will put out all the small producers. But the big producers statistically have much lower standard food and produce in the fields in the U.S. and in Mexico. The people go in the fields. That's one source. But another source could be economic warfare.
All right, very good. Alex, minute to go. Tell us about the websites and how people can take a look at the new DVD, Terror Storm.
Well, thank you, George. I'm really proud of Terror Storm. You can get it at Amazon.com. You can get it at Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. I got a lot of deals on Infowars.com. Folks can get some of my films as low as $5.95. All I want people to do is get them, learn who's really behind the terror, learn how the globalists operate. I've made 15 films. And you can go to Coast to Coast AM right now and watch Terror Storm for free on Google Video. But it's a lot more powerful when you have the actual DVD. So I'm asking folks, it's also in stores all over the country. Though it's been selling out, it's not in stock some places. Please get Terror Storm this holiday season, this Christmas. Get it and make copies. It's copyright free for nonprofit, not for sale purposes. My goal is to live in a free society, and that's not going to happen unless we stand up and say we're sick and tired of it. We're not putting up with it. We've pulled the wool off our eyes. And Terror Storm, I think, is the most powerful film I've ever made. George, you've seen Martial Law, which is pretty good. Do you think Terror Storm was better?
Yes. It's more timely.
Well, listen, George, thank you for all the support, and I want to thank all your listeners for all their kind comments, and it's always a great ride and just a great experience to be with you, and I hope to get to see you in Austin.
And you have a good Christmas, Alex, you and your family.
You too. God bless you.
For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Gina Selvati, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.